Technorama episode 423 for January 14th, 2015, where the rubber meets the road.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm looking for the Jovitos Goddess of Fertility Idol. Do you keep them in stock?
Over there, in the media corner.
Hello, ladies.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for January 14th, 2015. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, hey, thanks for showing up. How'd you get here? Leave a message at the door. Sign in the guest book. And if you're a returning listener, we appreciate you giving us your time once again. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good, man. I got here by the 101, the road y'all were just talking about.
The 101. Yeah, and the 202 and the 303. With me also in the studio, we have...
I'm Michael R. Menengay.
That would be you, yes.
That would be me, yes.
He's crawled out from under the desk once again. And...
And this is Jack Mangan, and actually on the highway, I got a 404 error.
Oh, nicely played. The iterations are well worth it. And next to Jack, we have...
Tiffany Matlock.
Tiffany, thank you for joining us. New voice on the show.
Yes,
have you been on
me.
A podcast ever before?
Jack Mangan deadpan.
Imagine that. I don't know why.
The gene pool here is not that big, is it?
It is a very shallow pool.
You know, Chuck, the way Michael's always there and people just come out of the woodwork, I keep thinking your house is kind of like Green Acres, you know, the door. You don't have a door on your bedroom and you just kind of slide the closet open and people just come in and out.
We're going to have to do a sketch on that, too. We need a Mr. Haney. How would you like to buy a new microphone?
Mr. Douglas, how you doing today?
Wow.
Just don't call me Arnold.
And on that note, we are going to come right back where we have notes on Sherlock, DOS games, and more of the same. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
It would seem another season of Tales from the Archives is upon us. Ugh. Dr. Sound must be under the impression we have nothing else to tend to down here. With a new season, we need to make a new promo.
Why not have our intern do it?
We have an intern?
Yes, Wellington. Catherine!
Good day, Eliza. How's it going, eh?
Lovely. Thank you for asking.
We have an intern? In the archives?
Any difficulties with my assigned tasks?
The cumbers retrieved from the ghost ship of Northumberland Strait keeps trying to reappear on different shelves, but I think I got it secured.
How did you do that?
Maple syrup? Sticky stuff, eh?
We have an intern.
Excellent. Welly and I were wondering if you have a moment to make a promo for us.
Oh, sure.
Tales from the Archives, Volume 3. The Steampunk Chronicle Reader's Choice winner and Parsec-winning podcast from Pip Ballantyne and T. Morris.
Oh, she's very good.
Subscribe for free through iTunes or at the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences website at ministryofpeculiaroccurrences.com.
I say, Catherine, would you mind topping off my tea? There's a good lass.
Oh, tea, coffee?
Wellington, don't antagonize the Canadian. It's very rude.
This is Brian Brushwood, professional jackass and raconteur. You're watching Chuck and Craig on Technorama. Except you're not watching, you're listening. But you're watching with your ears, because your ears have eyes. And you need to see a medical professional about your ear eyes. That ain't right. Where's my beer?
We are back! And we have voicemail. How about that? Wonders never cease.
Wow. No.
Age of electronics. It's just amazing.
We have the awesome listeners. So let's play the awesome song.
Letters
Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
I'm going to rip some real paper.
Mail oh, no.
Man, mail, man, mail yeah. Today. Reach right out and pull
paper?
One out.
Oh, nice.
I love those letters. Let's find out what you got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman, mail today.
We have feedback from Zaha Doom. Yes, we do.
Paper.
Hey, guys. It's Zaha Doom. Just listening to your show. Still love it. Yes, Radio Shack is still in Fort Worth. The weird thing is there, if you go there, you turn the wrong way. You're actually in the college. You turn the other way, you're back in their world headquarters. One other question, though. What happened to the shout-out to the chat room? See you, guys. 101.
Good question. We had made a comment about there was an old Radio Shack ad with Isaac Asimov in the 70s with the pocket computer. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, you can keep a computer in your pocket. And it implied that he was writing books on this thing, you know, one line of text at a time. But I don't think that really happened.
No.
So thank you very much. They are still in Fort Worth because there was a little cutout and clip in to get a catalog for Radio Shack, which was fascinating and entertaining in and of itself. But he said,
we joked about writing to him. That's what we joked about.
I'm going
to
write
in for the catalog.
Yeah. One line at a time.
Radio Shack, my old job, many times actually.
See, what happened to the shout out to the chat room is it is on hiatus because there is no chat room on Sunday night because we don't have our live feed up and running yet. We were talking about that after the show with Mark, the Encaffeinated One, on show 422. And he said, hey, how about, you know, if you don't have video right away, because we have a rather complex setup here and it requires some costly upgrades to make it do what we want to do.
So donate.
Yes, lots and lots of money. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, that's what I'm here for.
Problem solved.
Donate. Your donations will help make that a reality. Please
and
donate well.
But we can, under lower budget items, get the audio going as well and get that streaming out to you. Craig and I did some experimentation. I talked with Mike about how it's going to happen, and we think we can actually pull that together in the next week or two.
So yeah, I think it's possible.
Watch for announcements on Facebook and Twitter in the usual places, and we'll get the audio up and running, and then we'll get the chat room going, and we'll make that part of the interactive experience once again. We miss it as much as you do. Trust me. So keep your Sunday nights open, 9:30 Eastern, whatever the heck that time translates into where you crazy people change your clocks. And the scary part
They were trying to do it. Change that here, and it's like, oh no, we will firebomb the
yes, capital. There will be there it will look
there
like,
will be rioting in the streets.
Thank
what,
you.
What time will it happen though?
Everybody synchronize your watches.
We're going to do a 4-hour block. That way it overlaps at least an hour on each end so we can get some good protesting.
Another letter from our listeners today.
Which should lead us right into the next song. Get the marching band ready.
And 1 and 2 and 3.
Right on the cue. On this day in history for January 14th, 2015, this is the 14th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 351 days remaining until the end of 2015. Jack, would you do the strange but true fact on this one? I love it.
Certainly. Strange but true facts. In the 20th and 21st centuries, the Julian calendar is 13 days behind the Gregorian calendar. Thus, January 14th is sometimes celebrated as New Year's Day, Old New Year, by religious groups who use the Julian calendar.
Happy New Year, Jack! Mm.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yay. Well, I'll
stay up Happy until New midnight. Year.
Yeah, so you're a New Year's baby, Jack, right?
I guess so.
On the 13th, wait, we haven't got to the birthday calendar. Quit jumping ahead.
Oh, sorry.
It was on this date in 1911 that Roald Amundsen's South Pole expedition makes landfall on the eastern edge of the Ross Ice Shelf. Your turn, Craig.
Okay. 65 years ago. I was going to do Mr. Haney. My voice went crack. 65 years ago today, the first prototype of the MiG-17 makes its maiden flight.
Mike, can you read tonight, or are you hands off?
I can't see a thing.
It says "Erver Egelbluhudi Bork Bork Bork."
It still looks like Russian to me.
Then go, Jack.
Rewind 3 for us, Michael.
Jack's turn.
All right. NBC's long-running morning news program Today debuts with host Dave Garraway on this date in 1952.
Would you like one, Tiffany? Can you read from over there?
Sure,
kind of, sort of.
Yeah,
jump on the mic.
Hello.
On this day, the Hudson Motor Car Company merges with Nash Kelvinator Corporation, forming the American Motors Corporation 61 years ago today.
Awesome job, nice. Tiffany! You did great!
Tiffany can read.
January 14, 1969, an accidental explosion aboard the USS Enterprise. Captain, I can't hold them together anymore. In near Hawaii, whatever they were doing there, it killed 27 people, sadly.
They were going after Godzilla. Did you watch the new movie?
Oh, good idea. Craig?
Elvis Presley's concert, Aloha from Hawaii, is broadcast via satellite and sets the record as the most watched broadcast in an individual entertainer in television history.
And I watched it live. I remember that movie. I remember watching that show. No kidding.
That was one of his last TV things.
Yep.
Go, Jack.
The Huygens probe lands on Saturn's moon Titan on this date 10 years ago.
They have gotten a lot of data out of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness. Tiffany, can you steal his mic again?
Also today in 2012, the pirate party at Greece is founded on the motto of the Swedish Pirate Party.
And the Pirate Bay was formed? What is what? I don't know what this has to do with anything, but it sounded funny to me.
Swedish pirates?
Yes.
Swedish pirates.
No, we're not done yet. We have birthdays to do. We just start the music over again.
Yeah,
happy
of course.
Birthday goes out of this date to German mathematician, astronomer, and cartographer Johann Matthias Hasse. Born on this date in 1684, and that's as good as my German gets.
And also born on this date in 1943, American biochemist and astronaut Shannon Lucid. She was wide awake for the whole thing.
You're welcome for an easy name that time.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, I will take this one. Actor Carl Weathers, Action Jackson.
Yes.
Turns 67 today.
Wow. That's what you thought I was thinking. Hey, Apollo Creed.
I had to go obscure.
Hey, and with 67? That, you got a stew going right there.
Why is he not on the Expendables?
No kidding.
Him and Stallone got problems.
Colin Ferguson, not the actor from Sci-Fi's Eureka.
Oh.
But the Jamaican American murderer, turns 57.
What an unfortunate name. No, kidding. Hey, Colin Ferguson did something that,
yeah, that's horrible. I love Colin. He's like a buddy.
You think he would then change his actor name to like Colin E. Ferguson or whatever it is.
We've had Colin on the show so many times, I freaking have his number in my phone.
He doesn't look Jamaican.
Yeah.
Actor and rapper LL Cool J celebrates his 47th birthday, which means he's younger than me, and he was richer than me when he was younger.
Going back to Cali.
That's right. Mama's going to knock you out.
Spock you out.
Yeah, Spock you out.
Take us home, Craig.
Oh, yeah, that would be my turn. And finally, American actor, director, and producer Jason Bateman is 46.
Hancock. Anybody else?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, Hancock.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for January 14th, 2015. Tune in again next year when we have another date and some more crazy stuff. Yeah. Boom.
Hey, I loved Carl Weathers on... Arrested Development.
That he was in Predator with Stallone, Schwarzenegger. So
right.
He should be in an Expendables.
Yeah. That's what I was
although
thinking.
I can't watch the Expendables. I've never seen one. I made it through half. I made it through half of one, and I was so pissed at the midpoint.
Wow.
Oh, it was horrible. I mean,
first off, you don't take that story seriously.
Well,
no, it's pure tongue in cheek.
It's insulting.
It's gratuitous explosion, violence, action crap.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. I'm okay with that. But
Craig, you gave us a story with small font. Oh, wait, I can fix that. The impending news is we now have breakthrough quantum hard drive technology that holds data 100 times, not 100 times more data, but 100 times longer. Longer than what?
Yeah.
Is hard drive durability?
Do you measure data?
I'm not sure why there's a critical mass on that, but I mean,
let's read on.
If you laid a gigabyte out
You're familiar with quantum entanglement, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, this electron is in sync with that electron. Mm-hmm. Does that mean you automatically get data backups?
If you have
a quantum hard drive?
Well, if you have a quantum hard drive, the more important thing is with quantum entanglement.
The problem is it's over in the delta quadrant of the universe.
What they need to figure out is how to make that a communication device, or at least some sort of a Wi-Fi. You would no longer have lag between Earth and Moon, Earth and Mars, Earth and, you know, long distance.
Talk about your offsite storage.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's read on. Storing data in a state of quantum entanglement could hold enormous promise for securing our online information. But right now, we can only maintain these states for a very short time before the entanglement fails. An Australian research team has found a way to store data for hours, not milliseconds.
That's why the 100 times longer. Got it.
Say hello to the world's first solid-state quantum hard drive. Aha. Conventional quantum networks typically rely on fiber optic cables and lasers to store entanglement information.
Freaking laser beams.
You do air quotes with it.
I know my Cat 5 cables are all entangled, so if somebody can come over and untangle those. These networks can be up to 100 kilometers in diameter. The networks. Okay.
Right.
I'm thinking the cables. Right. Wow. These are big cables.
Those are some monster cables.
They're hard to route.
The laser-based quantum systems, quantum states usually just a few milliseconds before they collapse. The new hard drive from physicists at ANU, the University of Otago, can hold tangled data for up to 6 hours. The team essentially create the ROM to the laser-based methods RAM by embedding blah, blah, blah. This is getting a little too deep for my brain.
I had my Cat Quantum tangle up a whole bunch of my Cat 5 cables, and it didn't do a damn thing. So I just don't sure what about this technology.
You should name your Cat Quantum.
Oh, my career's been entangled. I don't know what that means.
So we're getting there. We've got quantum computers, and we've got quantum hard drives, apparently, or some storage system, which I think is going to be a major leap forward in the way we do things.
We'll see.
A quantum leap, if you will.
Oh. A quantum leap forward.
Someone call Captain Archer. did I cross the streams?
A little too much.
I don't know. We'll see where this all goes. I still think that we're dabbling in the quantum idea for computers. I think there's going to be something that's going to surpass that. Kind of in the same vein where they were working with light, and light may actually be the one that actually takes it out.
You could encode it on some sort of a CD-ROM.
Well, it's it's more important than that. Is it the photonic computer is starting to look a hell of a lot more viable than a quantum. Quantum has just too many weird properties with it, because once you start going down the quantum path, weird things start happening in quantum, and they're uncontrollable and they're unpredictable. At least photon is predictable, and it has a little
somewhat. Although, you know, if you think about the two slot experiment, weird things happen with photons too when you're not observing them.
No, that's true. Although that's more, well, okay. Yeah, you're right.
Thank you, Dr. Menengay.
I know what you're talking about.
He got a doctorate?
Wow.
While we were sitting here.
Must have been honorable.
We're not scientists and don't play one on a podcast either.
Wait, who are you and what'd you do with the Michael and Menengay?
Just give me a beer. I'll be fine.
He's the Apparently Cliff Clavin of Technorama.
He must have sobered up a little bit before we got to the story.
This is like Cheers, and he's Cliff Clavin. He'll make you up an answer.
No, that's Tim.
Damn, Tim. You gonna stand for that?
Yeah. There we go.
Come on back.
He needs to come back.
Next story we have in the news is now you can play 2,400 classic DOS games in your web browser.
Yay! Just what we needed.
Yeah.
Games my speed.
Craig, go for it. Yeah, because this is about where I stopped gaming.
Yeah, and you might remember a story not too long ago. We talked about the Internet Archive where they had all the arcade games. Well, this is related to that. So I'm going to read a little bit of the article here. If you're a PC gamer of a certain age, you probably lamented about the many titles that you used to play as a kid. I don't know about kid, but
Diablo. Okay.
I don't know if that's on there, but okay.
Yeah, and you messed me up, guys.
Oh, sorry.
It's easy to do.
Yeah, you played on your modern systems with emulator. Anyway, we're basically on the internet. I'm gonna skip all that. Y'all are screwing me up.
That's what we're here for, Craig. You're missing the whole point of this.
So anyway, on the Internet Archive, you can play all these DOS games in an in-browser emulator, which is really cool. I played some of the arcade games that they had, and it worked pretty good. And you can play some of these. I kept seeing Oregon Trail screenshots this last week. I'm like, what in the world?
It's everywhere. It's everywhere. I love it.
You died of dysentery. I'm like, what?
Was that a DOS game? I remember playing that on the Apple II. I think I still have it.
That is on there also. Some of those are on there as well.
They're 2400. Actually, to access these, though, you have to go north. Go north. Check inventory.
Open the mailbox.
Oh, shit. I broke my leg.
Yeah, exactly. SimCity. We need SimCity on there. That'd be fun.
So where are these Oregon Trail things showing up? On Facebook? People doing screen captures?
Oh, I think because of the news that they put up all these DOS classics.
Okay.
Guess, you know, people were posting different screenshots from Oregon Trail. I was like, I just saw them start popping up. I was like, why are these popping up? I think it's because of the Internet Archive story.
Oh, sure enough. That's right at the top of the list, too.
Yes, it is.
Prince of Persia.
Oh, wow.
There's Wolfenstein.
The Oregon Trail Deluxe. Has got
there's SimCity right there, second row.
Yep, there's Wolfenstein 3D. And SimCity. There's SimCity. Oh,
Lemmings. Lemmings. That's fun stuff.
Lemmings. I loved Lemmings. That's a time killer and a half.
Two.
You'd lose 3 days on Lemmings.
The original Castle Wolfenstein.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, wait, that's Donkey not Kong. The original screenshot. That's a DOS one. The one that's for the Apple?
That's not pixelated enough. That can't possibly be.
But it's by Muse Software, which also made Robot War, which I'm going to check is in here, but I don't know if that ever made
Leisure
it over to DOS.
Leisure Suit Larry. No freaking way.
Yeah, that was a classic, wasn't it? That was a classic. Wow.
What's the connection between Castle Wolfenstein and A Christmas Story?
Ooh. I have no idea.
There is a connection.
The Nazis.
Castle Wolfenstein on the Apple used to come in with that opening screen and said by Silas Warner.
Mm-hmm.
The teacher in A Christmas Story writes on the chalkboard, it says Silas Warner. Don't know if it's the same one. Haven't checked, but it's the same name.
Oh, fudge.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Only he didn't say fudge.
Oh, my God. Hey, look at all of them. Holy cow.
Mansion.
By the way, what's really look?
Is
look
that the, Street Fighter? Is that
there's
what
Street
seeing?
Fighter, Super Street Fighter, Super Street Fighter 2. Yeah, they're in there.
Look Dig at the Dug? Screenshot for Golden
Was that
Axe.
Dig Dug?
No, that was a 3D bomber. It looked like the Dig. Oh, there's Digger, which is the DOS version of Digger.
The DOS version, yeah.
Yeah.
Craig, you said Golden Axe.
I'm looking at the screens. I can't read a damn thing, but I can see the screens.
Sim Ant.
It comes up with a menu item, and it says, 1, EGA, 16 colors. 2, CGA. Hey, look at number 2. CGA, MCGA, or Tandy, 4 colors.
Tandy, 4 color. There we go.
I haven't got any of those. What do I do? I right-clicked on my display properties.
You have to click Escape, go back to DOS.
Test drive. Wow. Attention, listeners, we're going to do this for the next 3 hours.
Yeah, no kidding. We're reliving our youth here. Sorry.
We'll put it on YouTube. We'll come up with another. What's
you should play these on Twitch TV.
That's what I was thinking. It's like, just go do Twitch.
Channel. Wow. Yeah. That's incredible.
While we're reminiscing, let's take a quick look at the birthday calendar. Speaking of reminiscing, January 14th, we have two birthdays. We have in studio Jack Mangan. Yay!
Happy birthday!
Thank you.
Take a drink.
Also on the 14th, we have...
Wait a minute. Wait.
Yes?
Is that the first time we've had somebody on the birthday calendar that's actually in studio?
Besides you and me, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's no place I'd rather be, man. Thank you.
On the birthday, on the day of the birthday. That's what's kind of cool. So this is the 14th. Use your imagination.
Yep.
did I say? Glenn Tolar, 14th. The 15th is Ralph Whitfield, a.k.a. Goofy Ralph. Love the handle. Fuffy Frog on the 17th. We see her all the time at Dragon Con, a.k.a. Yes, Christina, a.k.a. Stephanie, a.k.a. I think she's got... like a law problem.
Actually,
here.
Her name is just AKA.
That probably, her name, we'll just call her
Akka. We're just going to call her Sybil from now on.
The 19th is Michael Hickerson. He's not on the listener calendar. We stole that from Facebook.
Michael Hickerson? Who's that guy?
As we did from, get him in the studio on his birthday.
No kidding.
19th is also Derek Colanduno from Skepticality. And finally, the 21st is, we shouldn't be doing the 21st because that's next Wednesday. All right. Back that one off. I grabbed too much text out of the wiki. Next time,
I'll get two shout outs.
stay tuned for Stingray 42's birthday next week. If it is your birthday and you did not make it to the calendar or you got there by opting out, happy birthday to you. We wish you all the best. And if you are not on the birthday and you wish to opt in, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki and put your name out there. We'll give you a shout out.
If you have a birthday,
and you'd like to be in the studio on your birthday,
there you go.
Then we can do that. We can do this.
Send your comments to technorama@chuckchat.com.
Yeah, send you get your comments.
Better clear that with Donna first.
I didn't give you a place to stay. I said just stop by the studio on your birthday. Quick break.
Sometimes those get mixed up.
Quick break. Well, we will be back to Remember When Media Corner and some other cool stuff that we have. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Hello and welcome to Technorama. It's got a silicone skin that fits like a glove. The only thing that's exposed when it's all tight and sealed up, even if you put in the wide body adapter, it's still too squeezy on the silicone skin. There is a little rubber trap door. It's a very thin membrane and it impedes absolutely none.
Every once in a while, you know, raise it up or take it off and clean, you know, around it. But I love it. I love that rubbery silicone feel. However, I would always feel like it's going to slide on my hand with that chrome on the back.
It gets pretty slippery, especially if you've been eating Cheetos or something. Your hand gets a little greasy. This has a nice grippy feel, and you know, you could go out in the rain and this would be completely protected because it is practically watertight.
Hi, this is Dean Hagel from The X-Files, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
I want to believe.
You should see the faces on this head.
Oh, yeah.
The silicone one gets them every time.
A little too squeezy on the side.
A little too squeezy on the side.
Gets slippery when you're eating Cheetos.
Wow.
I was doing a review for an iPod case, and somebody chopped it up just right.
Yes, tell you what. All I needed was personal lube on that one, and we've been there.
It's got a trap door.
Oh, you're killing me.
Still one of the favorites. Where are we? Yeah. Remember
I
when?
Don't know.
Remember Juan?
Chaos has ensued. We don't know what's going on.
Remember when we said, you really don't want to live in this shiny retro futuristic city? Because you usually see these things like, ooh, moving sidewalks and flying around cars. I want that. We love to look at retro futuristic cities, the clean cut skylines, the beautifully turned metalwork, the occasionally almost gravity defying twists and turns of the architecture. It's really hard to read because my eyes are still watering from laughing. But what would it really be like to live in one of them? Possibly quite nightmarish, it turns out, after looking at these dreamy pictures of American cities drawn to the long-ago imagined visions of their coming futures. Commenter James Ryan came along and burst our collective bubble with this little dose of architectural reality. I suppose if you put some of this into reality, it doesn't make it any fun anymore. Aww. No, you don't want this. At least not this version. Seriously, one of the big issues with New York through a good portion of the 20th century was the elevated lines, the L. These trains blocked light from hitting the sidewalk and bathed the streets with constant noise. You can still see signs of this on Roosevelt Avenue in Queens and Jerome Avenue in the Bronx and Chicago.
And living next to an L really sucks.
Yeah.
This picture from 1940 of 9th Avenue, also known as Columbus Avenue, gives you some sense of what would have occurred had they gone as crazy with the overheads as these drawings suggest they would have. The move for putting the trains underground was propelled in large part by the desire to have sunlight reach the sidewalks. Had the L continued to span the city, New York would be a far less hospitable place today. And that kind of makes sense. I can see that.
Certainly.
Wait a minute. It's hospitable now?
It's a nice
Well, once
place.
You get past all the urine smell and, you know. The
You're visiting a different part of New York than I was,
yeah,
apparently.
Well, yeah, okay.
So, oh, Manhattan is where I'd rather stay. To go along with the Green Acres thing earlier. Never mind.
The Green Acres theme. No, yeah.
New York is where I'd rather be. Yeah.
The stores.
The chores.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my. We have slid off the proverbial rails on that one. All right. We also have a remember when. Whoa. Yes.
I was just thinking, you know, you're talking about the L trains where.
Yes.
Overheads. What if those were like mag trains like they have in Japan and stuff?
Or flying cars like they have in the Jetsons.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. That was last week's show where it was just 2 years away every year.
Right.
Hey, you know, these kind of futuristic cities, this is the kind of place that I imagine I would be walking down the side and go, oh, I want that. Oh, I want that. So, yeah, I mean, I kind of want to go check it out.
If you're not dreaming about the future, it will never happen.
Well, and the thing is that we're talking about a futuristic vision using old technology, you know, being trains and old, you know, light rail even. That's big, bulky, and noisy. You know, if you move that to like maglev or you are monorail, yeah. Even the proposed possible Hyperloop that might be coming, you know,
yes.
That we're talking about a newer technology that has less impact on the environment around it. So, you know, it could still be cool. It's just what technology are we incorporating into the environment?
Steampunk rail.
Yeah, exactly.
That was not damaging.
When they talked about what was happening below the surface, I kept thinking some evil overlord's in control of everybody, you know, and controlling
Sauron rail.
Well, the subway lines helped reduce some of the noise pollution and it helped get it out of sight, but it created its own problems.
See, I read that. I'm just picturing the model train from Logan's Run. Oh, I'm sorry. The futuristic city.
Yes.
Remember, that's what I'm picturing, the HO layout train that goes through the movie. I'm thinking that's why Logan, that's why he escaped.
That's why he left.
People kill themselves at 30.
Through this place.
Yeah.
We were also talking just before the show, and Craig was nice enough to stick this in the show notes, the age of in-vehicle entertainment. We were reminiscing about how did you entertain yourself in the car?
Punching my sister for hours on end.
Yeah, hey, that was fun.
I entertain myself with that little face with the magnetic stylus, you know, with the...
Put the beard on the dude.
Etch-a-sketch. I had my Etch-a-Sketch. That was awesome. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. Or I brought my Tinker Toys with me. That was always good.
How could you... I guess Tinker Toys. I was thinking Lincoln Logs for a minute, but yeah, Lincoln Logs.
Or Legos, you know.
Legos, maybe.
Oh, I wasn't rich enough to have Legos. See, I came from a family of 9.
I wasn't
nine.
Either. I had blocks. which were red bricks that looked sort of like Legos, except they had triangles on top instead of round circles.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like the wooden technology. Blocks with the letters on it.
Yeah. It was proprietary.
As electronics, I was telling these guys that when the girls were younger, we had the early car entertainment system was a 12-inch CRT TV with built-in VCR in a milk crate.
Mm-hmm.
And they each had headphones. And I think I had to go through a splitter, if I'm not mistaken. But it worked to keep the kids quiet in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, in my large family, when I was a kid with 9 in the van stacked like cordwood, it wouldn't have worked. Because you don't have that many splitters. So we had, when I was a teenager... The electronics were just starting to come in. And Jack, you had mentioned a couple of these that you had played.
Well, you know, in the car, I had the Walkman when I was a teenager.
Rich kids.
No kidding.
I know.
Well, it wouldn't make
it. I had a Sears
it.
One.
Right. I had a cheesy one. The batteries would die anywhere you went. So by the time, you know, the song on your cassette tape, by the time it got to the end, it'd be a completely different song. Although when I was
cassette. Was that after 8-track?
Yeah. Right. It's supposed to be the dance mix.
Yeah, I had the 8-track ball.
The ball.
I had it was a blue one, actually. I had a blue ball and the
careful.
Yeah, careful.
Careful, yeah.
It's a family show.
Really, do tell.
Should we go back to the silicone skin? Yeah.
I didn't go there on purpose. I really didn't. It really was blue.
Try again later.
When we were younger, we lived in Texas, and we were from South Carolina, of course. So when we would take these long trips from Texas, car trips back to visit family and stuff, we did that several times, and it would take like almost 2 days to get back and forth. So we would have an assortment of little electronic stuff, or I'd have my comic books, and I'd have my favorite game system was my Merlin.
Oh, the Merlin.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
I've got one on the shelf up here.
Actually. He had to go buy another one just because he reminisced a little too hard.
Yeah. eBay was right there.
So like a phone, right? You would hold it up to your ear.
It was kind of shaped like a big old cell phone. Yeah.
It looked like a cell. It does look like a receiver of some sort, but it had like six game or nine games on it you can play. Kind of like Simon Says or Tic Tac Toe and all that kind of stuff.
Blinking lights, isn't it? Is it Merlin?
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. like red and orange mm-hmm. and yellow.
But that was Simon with the Simon skull where you had to repeat the patterns.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking this had little rows of light bulbs that were red, yellow, and orange. Is that Merlin?
No, it's all red. Oh. Even the lights.
This had
red.
Like a was a 3x3
yes,
light up keypad in the middle.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was trying to remember it while we were talking about it earlier. What the little electronic, the first electronic game I ever had was, and I just realized it was Sub Hunter. Basically, it was just dots. It was LED dots. And it would run across the top, and you would see a dot down below or a series of dots down below that was supposed to be a sub, and you had to run your boat over the top of it, hit the button, and it would actually, the LED would drop the LED down, and if it would blow up, and then the whole, you know, all the lights would go and boom, you know. But it was seriously, it was just LED dots. That was it.
Was it LED or LCD?
No, LED.
Oh, man.
LED bulbs.
So
that's all it was.
Batteries for lunch.
It eight batteries for lunch, and there was like about 60 LEDs all lined up, and that was supposed to be the C, and it just, the boat just kept going across the top, and you had to push the button at the right time so the depth charge would go down and blow up the sub. Remember that?
Yes.
I do remember that.
And actually,
I remember seeing this. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Craig. It's your show.
No.
Go ahead.
No, please.
All right. Chuck and I were talking about the Coleco football, and that's what I think you were getting at that, where you were a minus, and there were a bunch of minuses trying to get you, and you had to go from left to right.
That was a touchdown.
That's what I was going to bring up was I remember seeing kids at school with the football and with the Mattel football, and I'm like, wow, what is that? You know, I wanted one so bad, so I stole it. No, I didn't steal.
They had basketball. They had hockey. Eventually, they had head-to-head football. At least Coleco did.
Soccer? They had like soccer, but it's all like almost the same rules as the football.
Instead of passing, you kicked. So, listener, we would love to hear from you. What aged legacy games did you play in the vehicle or just, you know, not even by the vehicle?
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Or send us an email, like she said before. We'd love to hear from you. Media Corner.
You need to get your sister back in the studio.
Yeah, whenever she visits Phoenix, we have a nicer studio and we can do a nicer thing because I got nicer microphones. Everything's nicer.
It's nicer in Phoenix.
Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here in the Media Corner.
According to our crack news team, or our news team that's on crack, Batman versus Superman might be split into two films.
Oh, boy. Come on.
Did Peter Jackson get a hold of this? Let's make a trilogy.
Yeah. We're going to stretch out into three.
This could be total BS, but when you think about it, it kind of makes sense. Could Batman versus Superman movie be split into two parts? Latino Review, which is probably as good a source as any, has an insane story that all started with an image from a tipster. A person claiming to have an iPhone video of a teaser for Batman versus Superman has posted a single screenshot, which could be just a blurry poster for all we know. Mm-hmm. Batman versus Superman, part one, Enter the Night.
Or a really good photo editor is all I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Which is October 23rd of this year. And part two, Dawn of Justice, March 25th of 2016. We shall see.
I don't know about that one.
You know, it doesn't click with me is I thought the date was already 2016 for the first movie. So they'd have to, I think principal filming is done, but that they'd have to push. I mean, that's a fast track to get all the posts done in the next nine minutes,
especially with the amount of special effects that's going to be required to do that film. I mean, unless they're doing it on poster boards in a parking lot, I don't know how they could do that.
Now,
so,
me personally, I'm excited to see it. I want to see it, but I don't know. I don't want to screw it up.
I don't believe anything I read on Facebook ever anymore.
That's true. Those are 5 months apart, too, if you look at the dates, right?
Right.
I mean, so that's something else to think about.
Typically, if they've done all the filming of both parts...
Right.
I mean, they
wouldn't release it that fast.
Yeah, Back to the Future 2 and 3. Yeah,
those were about 6 months apart.
Yeah, but they had Back to the Future to start. Well,
those are stupid release dates, too. If it was a major film like that, who would release it in October 23rd and March 25th?
That's crazy.
You want your holiday blockbuster and your summer blockbuster.
Yeah, that makes no sense. There's so much about this that makes no sense. Okay. I really would discount this.
Thank you, well, Latino Review.
Plus, by this point, we should have already been starting to see some trailer or something out for that.
Exactly. A year ahead of time, we should have seen that.
We're just now seeing Ant-Man stuff, and it's coming out in July.
Right. And not only that, but I mean, Affleck has been, he's just now starting to talk about him being in the role.
We should be seeing trailers for trailers.
Exactly.
Which is the newest, stupidest thing I was getting.
It's crazy. Yeah, the in-theater screenshots coming in 2025.
Wait, we're releasing a promo on Facebook, on YouTube, in 6 to 8 weeks. I'm like, really? This is getting silly now.
You know what I find disheartening is when you see the timeline for the new Marvel films, I'm like, well, this looks great. And then you realize the year that the last one's coming out. How old am I going to be when it comes out?
I know. It's like, holy cow.
Not the most nerdy movie you've ever heard? It's like the quintessential geek argument, who would win Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
So that's why they're making it.
And
I'm
not a Superman fan. I've never been a Superman fan. He's just too damn powerful. They always have to come up with these weird MacGuffins to knock his powers down. It's like, really? This guy is freaking Superman. He's indestructible. Where's the story that you can build around that?
That's why I like the cartoon. The one that came out in the 90s where, he's doing something big, but he's always struggling just a little, he's not like all overpowering is what I'm getting at. I like that where he's having to struggle some, but he can do it.
Okay, I guess we have two things. I was going to point out The Dark Knight Returns is where I go for Batman versus Superman. The Frank Miller's graphic novel, it's very classic.
Yes.
Great read. I highly recommend it. And of course, you hear definitely Tiffany giggling about Smallville.
Smallville, yes.
Sorry.
I think that this is going to have elements of The Dark Knight Returns in it, for sure.
Isn't Wonder Woman supposed to be in this movie? Going on with Wonder Woman?
No.
Oh, I think that's a separate movie.
No, it's supposed to be in this one.
Maybe that's going to be movie three.
And Jason Momoa is in this as Aquaman.
Is
it Megan Fox?
Please no.
Well, she was supposed to be Wonder Woman.
No, yes. I don't think so anymore.
It's Gal Dukat. I can't say Gal Dukat. I'm just
Gal Dukat.
Gal Dukat.
Gal Dukat is going to be Superman, really?
No, he's going to be Wonder Woman.
Now that would be interesting.
All right, Tiffany, I need your help on this next part. This is a series of text messages from Aurora. She's asking advice from the other Disney princesses. This is text messages going back and forth. So would you like to read Aurora or everybody else?
Everybody else. I'll be Aurora. No, I'll be Aurora.
Okay, you be Aurora. I'll do my best on everybody else. Okay, because these are all Disney princesses I'm working with.
It's a high voice, Chuck.
Okay.
This is advice to Belle, right?
Yes. So Belle asks, Aurora, how can I get rid of Gaston?
Pretend to be interested in him and then teach him how to use a spinning wheel. And the spindle is cursed, by the way.
That's kind of hardcore, isn't it? So she turns to Snow White and asks, Snow, I need advice. How can I get rid of Gaston?
Give him an apple pie, lace it with poison or laxatives. And if that doesn't work, ask your friendly neighborhood little forest creature to eat his face.
Nice.
WTF, Snow, I thought you were innocent. So she turns to Rapunzel. Gaston is being annoying. How can I get rid of him?
Hit him with a frying pan and then send a horse after him. Or lock him in a tower. I don't care.
Don't care. So then, of course, she turns to Elsa.
Wow.
The Snow Queen. How can I make Gaston go away?
Freeze his heart.
I don't have ice powers.
Well, then I'm out of ideas. Ask Anna.
Anna, your sister suggested I ask you about how to deal with Gaston. He's being annoying.
Sing a loving and fun duet with him and then betray his trust.
Nice.
Are you okay?
Wow.
I thought that was rather entertaining. People come up with some great things. These look like actual text message screen captures from an iPhone. You know, the fact that they say Anna and Elsa and Rapunzel at the top just cracks me up.
I like the Star Wars ones we talked about a while back.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Star Wars, was it you that posted that image of Luke and Ben Kenobi when they're introduced? And he says, this was your father's lightsaber. It killed 33 children. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. No kidding.
I think my comment was, well, when you put it that way, it's not so cool.
And finally, yes, in the Geek Library, we have just a couple of tidbits to send you off with. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, whom you probably know from being a basketball star in the 70s and 80s.
From Airplane.
And from Airplane, yes.
Which I just watched before I came over here. No kidding.
And they throw that in here, too. It says,
and he fought Bruce Lee.
That's right.
That's actually one of the better Bruce Lee movies.
Most folks know him from basketball career, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is also a best-selling author. An autobiography, several nonfiction tomes, and multiple books for kids. And he's also an undercover airplane pilot. to cult movie fans, anyway. And now his first novel, with co-author Anna Waterhouse, stars Sherlock Holmes's older brother. He's written a story about Mycroft, which I thought was rather interesting.
Hmm. Yes.
Set in England and Trinidad, the story centers on Mycroft, a recent university graduate working for the British Secretary of State of War. Mycroft learns from his best friend of troubling events occurring in Trinidad. Mysterious disappearances, dead children, and strange backward-facing footprints in the sand. Mycroft goes to Trinidad to investigate and follow his fiancée, Georgiana, who was raised on the island. Sherlock has a cameo as a King's College student. Kind of a neat fork on that universe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody's ever done that. It'd be interesting to get inside the head of Kareem and see what he does for storytelling.
I'm kind of digging it, actually.
Yeah.
Actually, I love Sherlock. I mean, I've read all the little short stories and stuff, and I saw this story and I went, wait, what? just unlikely place to come from. You know, a Sherlock story was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but
oh, exactly.
Wow. Yeah, just blew my mind.
That's cool. And he's now like, 70 or something? He's getting up there in years. 67?
Yeah, definitely.
That's not old if you ask my dad.
Not old if you ask me once you're past 50.
It's getting less old all the time.
I know.
He's a young whippersnapper.
It's new 30.
It is.
And finally, we wanted to pass on. We won't read every one of these, but we want to maybe give this to your parents or friends who don't understand technology quite all that well. And they go, why do you call that spam?
Spam, 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 spam.
Johnny Vikings. The mysterious origins of 21 tech terms, including Bluetooth, podcast, spam, noob, troll, Google hack, lulls, IRL, which we mentioned in the last show more than once, doxing.
Doxing, yay!
Doxing. That sounds like something you do with short little dogs, right?
Deoxing. It's missing a letter.
Oh, with the silicone skin. You do
with the silicone skin.
Does it involve the trapdoor?
And the Cheetos.
The trapdoor and the Cheetos.
And then it's followed by stream.
Yeah, will the silicone skin impede your stream?
The showers.
Tweet hashtag 404, which I guess is the new highway around Phoenix that you can't find. That's
it. It's an error.
Emoji.
Skip to the 505.
Mouse wears bug cookies, wiki, and GIF. So
GIF or GIF?
It's GIF.
I'm going to challenge you on that one.
It says right there in the article.
Yeah, I was going to say it's
not
it's,
according to the CompuServe people who invented the darn format.
Look, that's with my source. Sound, not
I
AG.
Love this battle. I love the I argument. The
I
back
say
and
both
forth.
Words every single time I see it. I say GIF or GIF.
I say GIF because people think you're talking about peanut butter. Otherwise,
I always say I've always said GIF, but I like to say GIF just to piss people off and start. Start the
tomato,
conversation.
Tomato.
You don't. Exactly.
Tomato, tomato, VR, Emacs, who, whatever.
See how well this dictionary worked for us. Impress your friends. And share that.
And start an argument that will get you thrown out of a house.
Get out.
Get out your damn jiffy.
Michael, get back in the closet.
I'm ending the show there. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Happy birthday, Jack.
Thank you so much, and thanks again for having me on a second time.
Second? Wow.
Second time.
Four months. We gotta up the frequency here.
Indeed. In 4 months.
Or do a better job locking the door.
Hey, we'll see you in April, Jack.
There you go. We've got you slotted in. It's like a timeshare now. Whoops.
Don't play with timeshare.
We rent these chairs.
I was going to say, do we actually have to, we have to pay dues on the chairs?
There's
now?
A maintenance fee. Trust me, okay. We have cleanup to do.
Nice. Never thought of that.
See, I'm a capitalist. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Craig.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. I'm listening.
We appreciate all the listeners out there. If you want to get in touch with us, as we mentioned earlier in the show, call the listener line 206-222-2428. That's 206-222-CHAT. Or send an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. You can also find all that other contact information, Facebook pages and all that fun stuff, over on our website at chuckchat.com/technorama. And thank you once again for all of the people who donate to the tip jar. Go over there and click on those PayPal buttons. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and give me a binary high five.
101.
Wow, group effort. Very nice.
In sync, no less.